Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to a very special edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast, because today, friends, we are at the theatre, not the theatre of football, the actual theatre. You've heard us talking about it already on the podcast. We're brought to you now in association with the new Wolsey Theatre and their excellent new play, Never Lost at Home, which is starting next week, Thursday, the 16th of September, a story based all around the tremendous season of 1980-81, of course, Town winning the UEFA Cup. And I'm very pleased to say myself and Andy Warren were joined just recently by director and writer Peter Rowe and the star of the show who plays the iconic role of Bobby Robson, Peter Pevely. So give it a listen.
Following on from Our Blue Heaven in 2018, Never Lost at Home celebrates the 40th anniversary of Ipswich Town Football Club's 80-81 season. Many people believe it was the greatest season in the history of the club. Bobby Robson's small, skillful and heroic squad finally claimed the UEFA Cup, the first European trophy in the club's history. To celebrate the anniversary of the legendary victory, the New Wolsey Theatre is telling the story of that extraordinary season through the eyes of a family of obsessive Ipswich fans as they follow their heroes across Europe. Once again, the story uses a cast of actor musicians and includes popular hits from the era punctuating the action. Critical moments from the important matches in the season will be recreated by our community chorus of young people. Each performance will be simultaneously live-streamed for those of you who'd like to watch from home or abroad. Captioned, British Sign Language interpreted, audio described, and relaxed performances are available throughout the run. If you're a Town fan, it's unmissable. If you're not a football fan, come and see the musical celebration of a landmark moment in the history of our town. Head to wolseytheatre.co.uk or call 01473 295 900. That's 01473 295 900 now to book your tickets.
Wow, that's got me pumped up. I don't know about you listening. Keith, Andy Warren here with you. Delighted to say I've got Peter Rowe, the director and writer of Never Lost at Home, showing the new Wolsey soon, and the star of the show, Pete Pevely, who plays the iconic Bobby Robson. Guys, first of all, thanks for joining us. Fantastic to have you on the Kings of Anglia podcast. Very excited about this. Very excited about the show. Peter, if I could start with you, first of all, I guess obviously people have just seen and heard the trailer, so they have a rough idea what the show is about. But do you want to talk a little bit about the show and how it's come about?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar in form to the FA Cup show. So we did a call out to fans who were part of that journey at the time, who followed the team around Europe, the home games and away games, and then went to the final in Amsterdam. So I've compiled the script from those memories, from those experiences, based around this fictitious family, the Coombs, kind of extended family, who make a pact at the beginning of the season that between them, they'll go to all the games, all the home games and away games. They all go to all the home games, of course, but they have to divvy up the FA Cup games and the away league games and the away UEFA Cup games between them. And that becomes, because the season was so successful and the team went so deep into the FA Cup and obviously the UEFA Cup, that becomes more of a problem for them to try and find a way of getting to all the games and in amongst the rest of their life. And I felt that was quite true to the stories that I got told. I got a lot of great stories from people about following the team and particularly following the team abroad and the kind of adventures people had and the scrapes they got into.
Okay. And you mentioned there, obviously, it's the follow-up to Our Blue Heaven, which is incredibly well-received. I guess one of the first questions is why these stories? Why football? Because
I may be wrong, but I'm not aware there's a huge wealth of football plays at the theatre. So why did you decide that these were the stories that were important to tell and to put on as plays?
I think, obviously, for many towns, many cities, the football club is really important to the town. And as a theatre, we're always looking for stories that belong to this particular neighbourhood, to the town and the people of the town. And this was obviously a really important story. And I suppose the other reason for us is that we're always looking to make the work that we make here as accessible as possible. I'm a fan of both theatre and football myself. And I often think that football fans think theatre's a bit stuffy, that they think you've got to kind of get dressed up and be on your best behaviour to go into a theatre and through the doors. And I wanted to show people that wasn't the case. So part of the what we did for Our Blue Heaven was to put lots of banners around the auditorium so that when people walked in, it felt like a bit like, walking onto a football terrace. And we managed to get a lot of people through the doors of the theatre for that show who hadn't been inside our theatre before. I think something like a third of the people who booked tickets were first-time bookers to us. So in terms of trying to, I think there are a lot of similarities between football and theatre. We find ourselves talking about dressing rooms, changing rooms, half-time or interval. Our company stage manager keeps finding himself talking about when the match starts rather than when the performance starts. So, there's a lot in common between the two things, I think. And I think that those of us who love football love it because it's a story and we don't know the outcome. So every match you watch is a story and we don't know what the ending is. And I think that narrative behind a football match or between a football campaign is very like watching a theatre show.
Superb. If I could bring you now in, Pete Peverley, star of the show, playing Bobby Robson. Can you talk a little bit about your role in the show? Obviously, you play Bobby and how you've come to play this iconic figure twice now, because you were obviously in Our Blue Heaven as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a gift of a role to play. When Pete asked me to play it for the first time, I was like, wow, who wouldn't turn that, what a chance to play a character like that in a theatre show. And I suppose it feels really good to play him because he's such an important figure to the town and to the club. Yeah, and I just go about sort of trying to play him like I would any other character. I've watched a lot of video footage, I've read a lot about him, and tried to get inside what sort of man he was. And he's such a gentleman, a sort of such a decent man, and I sort of love playing him,
And you can tell, those of you listening and watching, Pete's voice is very similar to Bobby's. As I understand it, you were born in the next village, is that right?
Well, not quite the next village. I was born in Washington, which is okay. Which is close to, like, it's about 15 miles from Langley, Sacriston. Bobby was born in Sacriston but moved to Langley Park, which is like 2 miles from Sacriston anyway. So it's a sort of County Durham twang I have anyway. And I've got such a big head start. And my colouring's the same, there is a similarity in features as well. So it's good casting from Pete, really. It's such a great, so it's a bit of an honour, really, to play a character like Bobby Robson, it's been fabulous.
And you mentioned there you kind of go back and watch videos of him. So you try and play him faithfully, do you? Obviously, we've seen maybe on the big screen, like Michael Sheen playing Brian Clough and other people. That kind of method approach?
It is, yeah. I always think, there's another character in the Northeast that I do a one-man show about. There's a guy up there called Bobby, he passed away a little while ago now, called Bobby Thompson. He's an iconic Northern comedian in the workmen's clubs. And I've been involved, I've played him for many, many years. I have this one-man show, as I said. And he was much older than me. So when I play these characters of people who existed, I always think, I try to think of them not as impressions of them. It's not like a Mike Yarwood impression. It's just a sort of flavor of it. I think it's important for me to try and get into their head and have some sort of affection for the man as well. So hopefully that comes to, and then you pick up the physicality and little sort of vocal patterns that they had, and just sort of try and be truthful to the character rather than worrying about it being an impression of him. Do you know what I mean? Because I'm not an impressionist. I'm an actor who portrays characters. So that's the way I try to approach it, really, just by trying to sort of just trying to relate to that character, really.
Mm. And do you feel, I was trying to think last night when I was making a few notes about this show, I can't think of many roles, certainly in Suffolk and the Northeast, obviously from where you're from, where there's more of an iconic character to be playing. I mean, in Ipswich than Bobby Robson. Maybe if you were going on stage pretending you were Ed Sheeran, perhaps. But do you
feel Cardinal Wolsey?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get away with that, wouldn't you? He was a long time ago.
Do you feel like an extra responsibility playing someone who is so well known and so well loved? And does that bring an extra pressure? Because there is, he existed, he's a real person. And
absolutely.
People,
I mean, I remember when we did our Blue Heaven. Yeah. So obviously you're in the rehearsal room and you're developing what you're doing and you're thinking, well, this feels good. And you hear comments from Pete and the creative team going, yeah, that's in the right lines. But when we did our Blue Heaven, we had Mick Mills and Pat Godbolt came into rehearsals with about 10 days to go. And a little story about that, I had forgotten they were coming. And they came in on a Monday morning and I'd had the weekend off the script. I thought, oh, I'm going to have a weekend off the script and not do any homework. And when I turned up on the Monday morning, there they were. It was the first time I'd met Mick Mills and Pat. And I was like, oh, gosh, I forgot they were coming. So anyway, we ran some sections for them. Some of the speeches that I had as Bobby and some of the scenes. And that was really, I was like, oh, God, this is it. This is the sort of verdict. It's the first outside eyes we'd had on it from people who knew Bobby so well. And then, but it sort of passed that test. They were very impressed with what I do. And apparently Pat got a little bit emotional about it. So that was the sort of, right, we're on the right lines here. Do you know what I mean? That was a sort of stamp of approval that we needed, I think, just to carry on with the way we'd been going with it. And then, of course, once the show opened, it very nerve-wracking, obviously, the first show, just to see how the fans are gonna take to it. But fortunately, they were in from the beginning. And from that, you just relax in it and just go, right, okay, so the choices that you've made, you know they're right, and then you can push them through the run and keep developing as you go, you know.
I always wonder with actors like yourself who play people who existed and were well loved, do you ever find yourself kind of slipping into character when you don't mean to? Is there ever so often do you become Bobby Robson?
Honest, I think I have over that. It's taken us this time just a couple of weeks just to get back into his. I said just to get back into his bones under his skin, but I think I purposefully do that. So like I will probably take on some of the mannerisms just normally when I'm sort of walking around the street, you know. And I mean, it's really funny. I occasionally get caught by members of the public going through lines. I can see them looking at me in a strange manner. It's like, oops, you know. But I think that's good. So hopefully that it's the transition from me to him is sort of seamless. And I remember after we had finished our Blue Heaven, I went straight onto another job in which I was playing a few characters. And one of the characters, I just thought, well, I'll just, because it took me a little while to shake off the sort of mannerisms and the physicality that I'd been working in. So I just kept them for one particular character. Do you know what I mean? And who wasn't Bobby Robson, he was someone else, but physically he was him. So it does just take a lot, but I think it's good to get him in the body. That's the way I work. You know, I like things to be in the body. So so that's the way I work.
Superb. Andy, anything you want to bring in?
Director Pete, I just want to know, did you always have Bobby Pete in mind for this role when you sort of did Our Blue Heaven and then this one was, or did you just go out and try and find someone who looked and sounded like Bobby Robson? Did you know of Pete already and just knew that he would be the perfect man to play Sir Bobby?
Yeah, I suspected. I mean, we'd worked together before. I wrote the show first, so I wrote the show before it was cast. But Pete was the first person I offered that part to, because I always suspected that he would be exactly right to play Bobby Robson, and so it's proved. And I think because that Our Blue Heaven experience was so good and it worked so well, Bobby's got much more of a role, I think, in this show than the last one. So there's a lot of Bobby talking to the team, talking to the squad before the matches. There's a lot which we're in our in the stage version, he's going to use the the first front rows of the audience as the squad, effectively. So he'll be buttonholing people and ticking them off or G-ing them up. Or there's a particularly good bit before the St Etienne game, which, you know, was obviously a fantastic performance from the side, but they all went out on the beer the night before, and he was absolutely livid. So the first four rows are going to get both barrels when it comes to that speech.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you book tickets for those four rows, you need to come prepared.
Yeah.
What I think is really interesting about this, for this particular production, I mean, Pete's right, I think Bobby's got more of a role in it, that he's more of a real person. Like before, he was a sort of, he was more of a figure that came in and commented on sort of life and sort of pontificated on football, which was great. He was a bit of a figure. But this time I think he's more embedded within the story, and he has scenes with people, and he actually interacts with the other characters more. So the challenge for me is to make him a more real person than just this sort of mythical saint figure. We were talking about it yesterday in rehearsals, you know, that he was a man, and he was, you know, he was complex in some ways as well. So it's very, very easily just to make him into a saint. Mm. But so actually in the last 10 days, these last few weeks of rehearsals, that I'm thinking about that more as well, you know, just to try and get that into the mix as well.
Mm. Director Peter, could you talk a little bit about the process of putting a play like this together and the challenges involved? Because you'd have seen from the trailer the first thing that comes to my mind when you're putting on a play about football is, how do you do the action sequences? How do they work? So can you talk a bit about that?
Yeah, and that's probably why, you know, there aren't very many plays about football, because the nightmare is putting a football on stage and then not being able to control it, of course. Mm. So we're doing something similar to what we did with Our Blue Heaven. So we are looking at the critical moments in all those, particularly the away games in that UEFA Cup campaign, but in a really stylized way. So we've got together a group of young people from our youth theatre and young company, from the young company at Dance East, and we spent a week filming these sequences without a ball on stage at the Wolsey, in a kind of black box with side lighting and a slightly stylized slow-mo feel to it. So what we did was look at the videos of the actual moments in those matches and then find our own way of kind of reproducing that. So it's faithful to, you know, who passed to who and who scored and or whose header happened when, but in a kind of stylized way, and there's not a ball in sight. So it's something between football and choreography, I guess. And those filmed elements will appear on a big screen on the stage, which is right in front of where the band sit on a balcony up above the centre of the stage. Mm. So when we get to the football matches, we're sort of seeing the fans watch the match, but we're seeing the bits of football on a big screen in that stylized way.
Mm. Mm. You mentioned there, Pete mentioned Mick Mills. Have you had input from players of the era for both plays, this play particularly? Or
yeah, I mean, I've been particularly in contact with Terry Butcher and Russell Osman. We are planning to organise an appearance from one of the members of the squad from that time at the end of the show, which is what we did on the FA Cup show too. And Terry assures me that he is lining up a player for every performance. So I'm hoping to see him at the match on Saturday and just check that that's happening. but we believe that a player from the squad of 80-81 is going to appear for us at the climax of the show, at the end of the story.
Superb. And sorry, Andy, Karen.
I was just going to ask Pete, did you go to any of the games in 81? It sounds like you're an Ipswich fan. Is this something that's a bit personal to you? Is there any of that?
No, I'm actually a Liverpool fan. I'm sorry to say.
Oh dear.
So no, I didn't get to any of those games. I mean, I was, you know, when I was growing up, I was always impressed with Ipswich as a side, and particularly that side once those two Dutch midfielders started playing in that team. So, but my knowledge of all of this has come from the research that I've done and looking at all the clips myself.
Mm. So we've got a Liverpool fan, and Sir Bobby, I believe, having spoken to you before this Pete, is a Sunderland fan.
I am a Sunderland fan, yes, yeah. But following on with Pete, I remember whilst I was doing my research and racking my memory and taking myself back to 1981, what I was doing, I do remember watching the game, the final, with my dad, because Ipswich were everyone's favourite second side at the time. And I was a Sunderland fan back then, but I was getting into my music then. But I remember watching that game. My dad was like, because England players in that side as well, wasn't there? So a lot of people watched the game, and I do sort of remember. And looking back at the games after my research, they were such an incredible side. You watch all those games now, and they were really just on fire. And it's a thrill to watch them. And I also, it racked my brains as well that we used to have football cards and sticker books. And so you would buy these sort of big sort of glossy mags, and you would buy something and you'd get stickers and collect the stickers of the teams. And if you had Paul Mariner or someone from the team, I've got Paul Mariner, and you'd swap them to get the game. But I remember that Ipswich side. If you had that Ipswich side, it was like, I've got the Ipswich side. Look, it was, and all this, and I had never given it a second thought until I started really, you know, going back there and watching a lot of things and thinking about just my, you know, what I was doing back then. And I sticker books came, it was roaring into my memory. It was incredible.
Massive memory, isn't that, from everyone who kind of loves football from growing up, sticker books and getting the shinies and all that. Yeah. As a Sunderland fan then, Pete, obviously Sunderland and Town are big League One rivals now this season. Yeah. How do you see that playing out this season? Because you'd expect both sides to be right up there, wouldn't you?
Well, you would, yeah. I mean, obviously, we've had a really good start this season, which we've been hoping for, because we always start really badly and then have a really good patch in the middle and then fall away again at the end, like happened last year. We all thought that was going to be the year, but the last seven games, it all went the other way. But I mean, I don't know. We were just talking to Andy before. I haven't quite got my head around this league. I know we've been in four seasons now. This is the fourth season down there. But I haven't got my head around it. It sort of seems the last man stand, the team who can just keep going is going to win it. Yeah. You know, it's not necessarily who's got the best players now in this league. It's just who can keep them fit and keep them sort of on their two feet to the end of the season, really. Yeah. I mean, I'd love to see both. In fact, I checked the fixtures before I came down to see if Sunderland were playing here while I was down, but they're not. They come in December, don't they? But we're going on Saturday to see the Bolton game, so I'm looking forward to that.
Superb. Well, as you mentioned there, keep going. In Town's case so far this season, it's just get going. So hopefully hopefully this weekend they will get going with you there.
Yeah, hopefully.
Director Pete, can you talk a little bit about the music involved in this show? I mean, music is so important, isn't it, in terms of contextualising anything, and any kind of song you hear takes you back to a time. So what kind of tunes and music are involved in this particular show? I assume songs from the era.
That's right, yeah. I mean, our house style as a theatre is to work with an ensemble of actor musicians. An awful lot of the work that we make, from the Christmas rock and roll panto to musicals like Once, involves actor musicians. That's kind of our house style. So that's very much part of this company too. There are a lot of actor musicians within the group, focused on four or five who are playing the majority of the pop songs that are mostly accompanying the football sequences. So it's songs from 1980-81. There's some kind of post-punk, there's Eurythmics, and there's Elvis Costello, there's some disco, there's some Michael Jackson, it's an interesting time. And I've chosen the songs to kind of reflect the moments in the story. So there's some big celebration songs. There's some darker songs like Love Will Tear Us Apart, when things began to go wrong and bits of the treble disappeared and the family struggle. And the fact of having a live band as part of the show is really important to it. So the football sequences are all accompanied by live music. And I guess it's a cross between a play and a gig, which is what a lot of our work, including the pantomime, is like. And again, I think that makes it, you know, really popular and accessible for people who have a different idea of what a theatre is. It's as much a gig as it is a play.
Okay, and obviously you're in rehearsals now. We should reflect actually clearly there's a lot of excitement about this play, but excitement generally, I'd imagine, just being back in theatres and being able to do what you do, because clearly your industry was one of the hardest hit by what's just happened and what is still happening. Can you talk a little bit about that, both of you, Director Pete Stoff?
Yeah, it's been, yes, you're absolutely right. It's been a really tough time for the arts and performing arts, particularly, like many, many other sectors of our society. So, you know, people have been struggling in all ways. People who are freelancing particularly have their work has dried up completely. And it is a real joy to be back in a room with other people making work, making a show, making music. And I think when we first started doing that, when we first started rehearsal, everybody was just a little bit ring rusty because it's been a while.
Yeah.
And you kind of look at each other and go, do we still know how to do this? Are we still, you know, the people we thought we were 18 months ago? And then within a couple of days, you forget all that. And it's just great to be back making a show again with a bunch of other people in a room. And I think we're all really high on that at the moment. So there's the excitement of the show, you're right, but there's just the excitement of making work together again.
Yeah. What's it been like for you, Pete?
Well, yeah, it's pretty awful at times, but yeah, you just sort of have to keep going. I was on tour with Once, Pete's production of Once, last March when we were taken off the road. And I've been delivering, you know, I found something else to do. The default job for actors and singers has been delivering parcels,
right,
or shopping for various different companies, which is, to be honest, I've sort of just got on with it. You know, you just get, I got the blinkers on and I just delivered parcels every day for 16 months. But when they released it, because I'm also a singer up in the Northeast as well. So when they did release the lockdowns, those gigs came back in those venues and I went back to that. Then they locked down again. But I always had this little parcel gig going, which sort of kept me going and kept me sane and just kept things moving forward. But I sort of always suspected that this project might be my first job back into the theatre, because Pete and I had talked about the possibilities of doing it, and so I just put that to the back of my mind. And then when it looked more likely it was going to happen, then that really sort of just keeps the morale going that you are going to get back into the theatre, because it was at some point, sometimes during the pandemic, you think, am I ever going to do it again? And Pete's right about skills as well. I think it's taken me sort of a couple of weeks just to get the skills back, just to get my mouth going. I forgot how much you actually have to open your mouth when you're speaking on stage. So I've been going, here's your parcel for 18 months. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, it just takes a little while just to get that back, but it's coming back now because Bobby has such big speeches in this.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, right, okay, that's what you have to do to get these sounds out, to really give those speeches, you know, the weight they need. You've got to be technically proficient to get them across. It's not just about sort of acting the words. You have to be technically on it to get them to the back of the room. So that's all, I think that's all coming back now. So I'm pleased about that.
It's good training, because we've got most of Bobby's speeches, or a lot of Bobby's speeches in the show, have the band behind them. And when we're in the rehearsal room, the band are loud, and we're not mic'd as actors. We will be once we get on stage. So Pete's been training his voice really hard to try and get himself heard above the band, basically.
What are you doing costume wise for Bobby? I guess he's suited sometimes. He's track suited sometimes.
He's suited, yeah. In the last one, he was mainly suited. It was that iconic sort of statue image of him that we went for. But this, yeah, is tracksuit. We see him in a tracksuit in this one. We see him in a more casual setting as well. So yeah, but pretty sort of faithful to those images that people will have in their heads with him, you know, and just sort of thinking about the types of suits he liked. We've tried to be quite fit. I mean, we're so it's great to have footage of him in the actual situation. So we've got interviews with him after certain games, so we can go, right, it's the beige suit he wore, do you know, so we can be really faithful. So, and we've tried to do that as well. So
are you going to the game on Saturday in costume?
we were going to try and do that, but it hasn't worked out with the club, has it, Pete? So
no, we were hoping we'd get Bobby onto the pitch at half time, but COVID regulations and the pitch being a red zone and all of that has made that impossible. The cast are all going down to watch the match at the invitation of the club, which is tremendous. And I think it'll be a really good thing. And at the end of our rehearsal process, before we go into the theatre and start technical rehearsals, for them to be inside the stadium and just feel what it's like to be in amongst a crowd.
I'm going to wear my Boys of 81 shirt. I've got a Boys from 81 t-shirt, so I should be wearing that. So if anyone spots that, then to come and say hello.
Absolutely. Director Pete, there's a couple of more interesting things I want to talk about the show. First of all, I see that people can have their own pictures included. And also it's being live streamed around the world, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, we've live streaming is something that we've been doing since we kind of returned after closure, as a way of making sure that people who couldn't access the theatre for whatever reason, because they were still sheltering or because they didn't feel happy about coming into a crowd again so quickly, so that they could see the show, but also really important for us that they could see it live. So it's not a recorded version of the show, it's the show that's actually happening that night. And there's quite a lot of video content in the show as a result anyway, which will be on the big screen in the auditorium, but will be on full screen for people at home who are watching the live stream. Mm. And of course, that means that the show is accessible to people all over the world. So I'm hoping that Ipswich fans all across the globe will sign up for the live stream and be able to watch the show.
Yeah,
I know. I've got people in the northeast who will be able to watch it too. Who, you know, it's a long way to Ipswich, as I found out when I drove down, and always forget how far it is. And so Newcastle fans, people who have followed Bobby in whatever team he's been in, as Pete says, all over the world, but in the northeast can watch it as well, which is lovely.
We know from putting this show on, there are Town fans right across the world. I mean, we've got listeners all over the shop, haven't we, Andy? South Korea, Australia, New Zealand, the Caribbean. So there you go, guys. Get involved. You can watch this on live stream. Director Pete, the pictures thing is right, though, isn't it? I'm sure I've seen that you can send in pictures that can be included in the show from that time. Is that right?
That's absolutely right, yeah. And we're compiling a kind of slideshow of those pictures from the time, which will be on a loop during the interval and after the show. So any pictures that people have, particularly of themselves, so there some of the pictures have got sent in, the pictures of the stadium or the match in progress, but it's really interesting to see pictures of the fans, you know, what they were dressed up like at that time. And the various modes of transport that people use to get to the games, particularly the away games in Europe. So, yeah, if people have got pictures of themselves following the side during that 80-81 season, please send them in. And the details are on our website.
Superb. Andy, anything else you want to ask?
I was just wondering, Pete Peverley, if you... Can you do? Have you got a Scottish accent in you? I'm just wondering where you're going to go next with this. George, can you play George Burley? Have you,
Scottish is just not in my arsenal at all. So no, that's the one I stay clear. I haven't got what football managers know. I suppose I could possibly manage for Sunderland. I could manage it. You know, oh God, I've forgotten his name briefly. Manage a 73 Cup final. That's terrible. You'll have to cut that bit out. But I don't know. No, this one, this, I think this, I'll stop with this one.
Fair play. That is an obvious question, though. This is part two, Director Peter. Is there going to be a part three, a trilogy? Because the next one, I guess, the obvious one would be the playoff final from a bit more recently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we haven't thought about that yet, but if this one goes well, the first one went incredibly well for us and was a great experience all around. So if this one goes well, yeah, you're right. That would be the obvious next one. And after that, we might be struggling a little bit. But, you know, who knows what the future holds?
A Liverpool fan can say that.
So when was that playoff final then? When was that?
It was 2000.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I think there's something... there's something in my head always, if it's far away, like the 70s and 80s, there's a romance to that, isn't there? I don't know if that's too early, but yeah, but no, I certainly wouldn't. I don't think I've got a Scottish accent in me, so you'll have to find another George Burley. Unless I start working on it now,
yeah,
just in case.
Never say never. Guys, it's been great talking to you today. One of the key things we try and do on this pod is try and take people behind the scenes of covering the club and what it's like. So just as a way of finishing this off, what can you take people behind the scenes in that dressing room on September the 16th? What's it going to be like before the curtain goes up? Will you, Pete Pev, will you be giving a team talk in the manner of Sir Bobby to everyone before they go out? How exciting, nerves? I mean, what's it like before you literally step on stage for the first time with a new play?
Well, I mean, it's just, it must be very similar to going out and playing. It's exciting. It's nerve wracking. And yeah, we have warm ups before we go out. So we'll do our vocal warm up. We'll have time together. And as a company, sometimes you develop a little routine where you maybe play a game or so really that, and you don't really think about that. That just happens organically during those shows. But I think this one will have an extra resonance because it's going to be our first one back for everyone. It's going to be, so there's going to be something about that first audience that we step in front of that's going to be sort of quite special, I think. But I mean, personally, I just walk around backstage sort of, try to being him a little bit just so I'm ready to sort of hit the stage, but I do that for everything I do anyway. But yeah, I think the extra kick that we'll get with it being everyone's first one back, and it's always great doing a brand new piece, and this is a sort of world premiere, it's a brand new piece, so there's always extra excitement there that you go, wow, this is the first time that this is going to be seen. So that's a sort of, it's a sort of privilege to be involved in something like that. Very exciting.
Yeah, and what's it like for you, Director Pete, kind of first night of your new baby, I'd imagine, something you've been working on for a long time, and finally people get to see it, the whole background of the pandemic as well. How do you think you're going to be feeling on September the 16th?
Incredibly excited, of course, and very, very nervous. I think for me, the moment I start to relax is when the audience laughs for the first time. So, you know, there are quite a few jokes in the show, I hope. it's for me, that's the moment when the audience reacts by laughing together. I think, okay, I can start to relax now. I mean, it's particularly for Pete, I think the difficult thing in rehearsal is, but a lot of his speeches are addressed to the squad, as we were saying, you know, who are the audience, and in the rehearsal room that's really difficult because he's just addressing a brick wall. So the interaction with those people will be the thing that makes all of that stuff work particularly. But there's never any need, I think, as a director to kind of G a company up before a first performance like that, because everybody's, you know, right up for it anyway. It's a bit like, you know, those stories about Brian Clough with his team talk before a game would consist of holding a football in his hands and say, "This is a football, go out there and express yourselves." And that was it. So, you know, everybody by that stage has got everything they need, really. And it's just a matter of enjoying the experience and enjoying having an auditorium full of people to play to.
Yeah, superb. Andy, anything else you want to ask?
No, I guess this is just a chance to let everybody know that the exact dates of when it is and how they can get tickets, because I'm sure you'll have some seating packed with people in wearing football shirts, which is maybe an unusual theatre crowd. So how can people get tickets?
Go to the Wolsey website, wolseytheatre.co.uk. That's the place to go for tickets and for information about the show and for how to send photos in. Yeah, that's the best way to go.
There you go.
And we and we want to see the football shirt. If you do come, wear your football shirt. It's great for us. We love seeing that. And so we can't wait to see it full of blue.
Town, of course, sell replica shirts from that era, don't they, Andy? So it'd be nice to see a theatre packed with shirts from that era. That would be spot on.
They actually lent us some for the young footballers to film the football sequences.
Okay.
So the Ipswich players in those football sequences have replica shirts courtesy of the club. Yeah, and like Pete says, there's no need to feel like you don't know what a theatre experience is like. It's just like being a football stadium in this case. So please come and think of it in that way.
Excellent. So that's Never Lost at Home. It shows from Thursday the 16th of September to Saturday the 9th of October at the New Woolsey Theatre. You can buy tickets on the New Woolsey website, as Director Pete says. Guys, I want to leave the last word to you. Just a reminder, KOA Army listening to this. So the guys are going to be at the game on Saturday. So if you fancy getting a selfie with Bobby Robson, this is your chance. So jump on that. If you do see the guys, go and say hello. But Director Pete and Pete Pev, I just want to give you a chance to finish just by saying what people can expect and why people should come along to the show. We'll start with you, Director Pete.
Well, I think it's a show that's got a bit of everything. It's got a fantastic story. It's got a lot of nostalgia for that great side and for Bobby Robson as manager. It's got some great music in it. And I hope it's got some really good laughs in it as well. We're certainly having a great time in rehearsal with it. So I think it'll be a really, really good night out.
Superb. And Pete Pev?
Likewise, great night out gig. It's a gig, it's theatre, it's going to take you back to that time, and if you weren't around at that time, it's just going to transport you back to what it was like, and just all those collective memories that people are going to have when they come to see it, which theatre is very, very good at doing. The collective memory and the emotion in the room for the first show was amazing, and I'm sure we'll do that for this one as well. So yeah, you're going to have a great night if you're in the room. It's going to be great.
There you go then. Do not miss out. Get your tickets now. New Woolsey website. Best of luck with it all, guys. Do you still say break a leg? Is that still something that happens? Obviously, that's the worst thing you could say to a footballer before a game.
But... we never say that to each other. It's one of those kind of urban myths. Yeah. I think we more often say good luck or have a good one.
Yeah.
Have a good one, yeah.
There you go then. Well, best of luck with the show, guys. I hope we're all going to get along and see it at one time or another, because it does sound fantastic. Never Lost at Home, Thursday 16th September, Saturday the 9th of October. Get your tickets now. Do not miss it. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks very much.
There we go then, Andy. That was a good chat. I enjoyed that. Something a bit different for the Kings of Anglia, going to the theatre. What did you make of it all?
We're getting a bit theatrical recently, aren't we? We've been talking about our own theatre exploits. Didn't bring that up with the guys, though, did we?
No.
Didn't want to embarrass them. But Peter Peverley is a... Yeah, actually, it's uncanny, I think, actually,
yeah.
the resemblance with Bobby Robson. Just the voice is brilliant. And he's right. He does. There are some similarities kind of facially in the way he looks as well. So, yeah, it sounds really good. An era of football I wish I'd been able to watch at Ipswich. I think we all wish that we'd maybe been around for that. So this might be a little vehicle to take us back to a time that we weren't able to see ourselves.
Can you imagine, Hutchie, if we were covering town like we are now at this time and social media and things like that were around? Ipswich Town would be one of the biggest clubs on the planet. It would be incredible.
Yeah, it'd be huge, wouldn't it? And we'd be recording this live from St. Etienne. We'd have been in Cologne doing podcasts in the heart of Cologne. So yeah, it's a totally different era, isn't it? But we've got our own era. Don't worry. Things might be all right. You never know.
Well, that's obviously a great segue into the actual era we have to talk about and preview this weekend. Bolton at home, Andy. You went around on Tuesday, but I spoke to the boys, both Andy, both Stu and Roscoe, feeling quite positive about the game. I think Roscoe said it was going to be a draw, but Stu predicted a victory. Of course, the box we have to tick in this particular case is the £1 million picks box. Just brings up to speed as to where you are with your winnings or losings, as the case may be, and what you're going to go for this weekend.
So the overall perception is that maybe this wasn't going so well, but actually the little unexpected Joe Piggott windfall from his goal being given to him at Burton, followed by the MK Dons game, where I did win a little bit of money, led me into Wimbledon, almost break even almost back to even. So I used the kind of money as free money, and Ipswich let me down. I had £200,000 on them just to win that game, which was even money. They'd have won, but sadly that didn't happen, and they let me down in stoppage time. So I think that puts us back down at £732,500 for the season. So I'm going to do two little stabs at this week. I'm going to go for the same bet again, Ipswich to simply win the game, which remarkably they're now even better than even money to win this game at 6-5. £100,000 on Ipswich Town to beat Bolton pays out £220,000. And then as a little secondary tickle, I'm going to do simply that for there to be more than 2.5 goals in this game. Doesn't matter who scores them. Doesn't matter if Bolton score a last minute equaliser to make it 2-2. Over 2.5 goals, that's at 17-20, which another 100 grand on that will pay out 185,000. So nice. it could have a total payout of just over 400 grand if all things go well. A nice 2-1 win would do the business.
Take that to the bank. So when you say over 2.5 goals, that basically means at least 3 goals in the game.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It just gets rid of the. They do that just to get rid of the possibility of it being a tie.
Okay. What do you reckon then, Andy? You're obviously betting on a victory. You're hoping for at least a 2-1. What do you think is going to happen? Are we finally going to get this lift off that we've been teasing for so long? Another home game, 2 weeks off to train, squad ridiculous for League One. This is the time, isn't it?
I said this last week. I'm going to say it again. But yeah, I think it is. My prediction would be 2-1, I think. Bolton have had a fairly decent start. They've only lost once in all their competitions and they're carried over from their promotion. Well, they score goals, although they did draw a blank last time out. But it's not easy. Not going to be an easy game, but I think what you've just said there, the two weeks of them being together, working together with this game as a goal. They haven't had players off on international duty. Obviously, the Wickham game was off, but that was all from the Wickham end. There haven't been players missing. So you like to think that this could be the weekend, don't you? We've said it before, but I firmly believe it will be. We'll see.
And you're saying 2-1, because I think me and Stu both said 2-1 as well.
Did you?
Absolutely.
But there we are.
There you go. So we can't all be wrong, surely. What would you do with the side, Andy, just quickly before we go? There's going to be a few more selection options, you'd imagine, this weekend. Edmonton, possibly, for example, being one. What do you reckon you would do with the side? What do you think will happen?
Possibly. I think if Edmonton is fit, and we don't know if he is, he's certainly training, whether he's fully fit to go. I think the temptation to put him in will be too great. I imagine that he would go into that side. Obviously, no Sam Morsey, he's suspended, so the midfield stays as it is. I imagine this game is pretty sure this game will come too early for Bersant Salina as well. He's got some catching up to do. Obviously, he's had his own issues over the summer. So I think you could largely be looking at an unchanged side, apart from up top, where I would have thought Macaulay Bonn will come back into the team. I think that's probably where the change will come. I think one way or another, Macaulay Bonn will be back up top.
Okay, there you go then. Hope you've enjoyed this special podcast. We all reckon that Town are going to win at the weekend. Well, with the exception of Ross. Andy's got some big money on it. Some big money coming back, hopefully. Hope you enjoy the game. Get your tickets now for the new Woolsey show, Never Lost at Home, via the new Woolsey website. Tickets start at £10. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Crime to football, Brexit to Pokeball. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon. podcast from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.